This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting March
21st, 2007. Patty LaBelle. Tony Bennett.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
They probably don't even know who those performers are.
Mm-hmm. I know who they are.
No. For Slope Dead.
For Slope Dead. Tony Bennett. He's very popular, isn't he?
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Who's our convocation speaker?
It hasn't been announced yet.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm asking.
So there is one.
There is. Oh, they found someone. Ask for it.
Oh, that's
insane. I thought it was an interesting choice, and I think that person will. I anticipate an interesting
speech.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yes, it is.
Alrighty. So, any late additions to the agenda? No? Okay. With that, I'll move into the report from the chair. Maybe some of you aren't aware, but I also chair the University Benefits Committee, and we met last week on the 15th to discuss particularly retiree prescription benefits and medical benefits. I was glad to see our friend George Peter there. So that was wonderful. And there are going to be some things changing in the policy and the offerings for retirees. And I think in the long run it's going to be a better thing because they can do things with pre-tax dollars. They can do things with savings to set aside money for kind of like we do for select benefits. That type of thing will be offered. So this is the first meeting that we had to discuss it, and that the Benefits Committee is going to meet on a regular monthly basis to iron these details out. So, but that's the subject, is retiree medical benefits, particularly prescription benefits. And that's all I have from the chair. Michael, do you have anything for trustees report, Liz?
Yeah, I have a brief report.
Okay.
The trustees were on campus 2 weeks ago for a full slate of meetings. These are typically our sort of lighter meetings stuff. During the open session, the president mentioned Biddy's speech. I don't know how many of you were there, but it's the first provost State of the University address.
And she did mention staff. Ooh.
She did twice.
And she used the word earmarked. Do you remember? That was our catchword for that day. I wrote it down. Earmarked.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah.
The president also mentioned that our relations with the government, both state and federal, have been going very, very well. He mentioned the climate commitment. He signed the neutrality by 2050. I know that's on the agenda for later today. He's doing a lot of student outreach, including office hours and his radio show. Applications were up 7 or 8% this year. And the other thing in open session was the remodeling of I's faculty building, which will be the last building the whole ILR complex.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, there was the student assembly president and the GPSA president gave their, I think, 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Don was there. Their 10-minute discussions of what was going on in their assemblies for that year. And I have to say the GPSA student presentation was outstanding.
Yeah, it was.
And they also have produced a report. I don't know if everyone has seen that. It is, I think, a must read. And I think there are a lot of things that the EA can work with the students, the GPSA on. They have a lot of similar issues, transportation, healthcare, childcare, a presence on campus, things like that. So I think it should be read by everyone here. Otherwise, any questions?
Okay. To follow up on what Michael said, you might remember me mentioning after our leadership breakfast, that the GPSA had produced this report, and it was on graduate residential initiatives, is the title of it. And Michael's right, Janet Mertesi did a great job presenting that. I do have a copy of the report. I'd be happy to send it in. Oh, do you? Okay.
And it's on the web too, isn't it, Nora?
Yeah, I think they posted it.
Yeah, it's on the web.
Speaking of posting on the web, I mentioned it to Amy yesterday, but I didn't see the Chili Chat report on our website. I was there over the weekend and didn't spot it.
Okay.
I wanted to follow up for our luncheon on Monday, and I didn't see it there. So if you could check on that, I'd appreciate it. That leads us into the approval of the minutes. From, hold on a second, we should all have it, December 20th. Please take a moment to check the attendance in particular.
I have a correction.
Okay.
Under section 5, the subsidy report, the last sentence, you could strike out also despite the best effort.
Okay.
And just that there will not be any student, faculty, or employee elected trustee seats added.
There will not be any, say that again, Michael?
Student, faculty, or employee elected trustee seats added. Or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
I think by the best efforts is a little.
Yeah.
Even though they work gargantuan.
No,
<Self-serving.
laughs>
I want to quote you.
Yeah, I know, but I
sort of
do a lot of that speech
on the record
anyway.
Michael, would it be inappropriate to say at this time? Because
no,
sooner,
I think, well...
Forever? Is it at this time or is it forever?
I think when Hellfeast is over.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, maybe
the
we should
one,
add
that.
Yeah.
Get that one.
We should add that.
And that's another author.
And it's highly
not in our lifetime.
However,
I don't agree with that, but that's just me.
There may be a different way to look at that. In that we might be able to have representation, but not a vote. So to be a non-voting member of a committee, or to at least attend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there it's kind of like Michael fought the fight and we lost. So now let's think about what else we can do to get representation there. If it's a non-voting member, if it's just being able to attend the meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're in a fortunate situation, not to pat myself on the back, but it's just that, you know, because of my job, I'm at these meetings, so I can, you know, give you guys some updates.
But I would also
insight,
add that,
so.
I mean, there is an open session that, you know, no other employees attend. So, I mean, how serious are we about having their seat if we don't even get people's bodies in?
So that would be kind of a first step if we thought we wanted to do that. Yeah, Dennis?
Just a question. Is there precedent for non-voting members on committees?
Yeah. I have several on buildings and properties.
Okay. But none of them are staff?
I have two deans.
Yeah. None of them are staff?
Mm-hmm. On my committee.
Was Susan Murphy on the committee?
No.
Well, she is on other committees.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there
yeah,
are...
she is.
There aren't
non-faculty,
or non-faculty.
The senior administration.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, leadership lunch, open discussion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't hear the motion. Yeah, yeah. So, somebody can have a motion.
Do we have a quorum? There are only six people here out of 15. I don't think we can vote.
Including me?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Huh?
Pat's on the phone.
Pat's on the phone.
Oh. Are you still there, Pat?
Pat, don't do this to us.
Pat, are you there? No? Maybe she stepped away. We'll check in with her later and see.
Hello?
Oh, there she is.
Here I am.
Okay.
Sorry, I had the mute button on. Can I just, there was one change that I wanted to make note of on page 3 of the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Leon Morris's name was spelled wrong. There's an
oh.
At the end.
Yeah, there it is.
And I think it's the fourth paragraph.
I got it.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got it? And then below that, Appleseed Company, in the next paragraph, I think company should be capitalized as well. So we need to be
fixed. Right.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Pat.
Sure.
All right. So, now, can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
That's all.
All right. All those in favor? Okay. Minutes approved. Okay. So, leadership lunch. Where do we start? Inda attended. I attended. Peter was there. Amy was there. Mary Opperman was there. Dennis was there. Leon.
All right.
Was there. I saved you for last.
Okay, the best.
And a couple other staff.
And a few other staff members. We certainly didn't get the turnout that we were hoping for. Not certain why. I haven't had a chance to talk to Andre about that. I know that he was promoting that event and that venue, so maybe he can give us some insight on why that was the case. But given that, even though that was a small turnout, the discussion was really good. I think that in a way it afforded us an opportunity to have a more informal... Oh, Michael, I'm sorry, you were there too. more informal discussion and you know, I thought overall it went pretty well.
Yeah.
Other comments?
Well, everybody saw Peter's email that I thought was excellent. I thought Mary did an outstanding job, as Peter made note of.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was really very good.
Leon, you stayed after them, talked to them. Gentlemen came in late.
Right.
Glad you took the time to do that, because I think you felt a little out of it showing up late. But
So I think we got some good feedback out of that.
Yeah, people showed up, said they really seemed to enjoy it, and had a lot of good things to say about us at the VA.
So it was a good, you know, kind of warm up, I think. For the lunches to come, which I'm sure will be better attended. Dennis?
I thought what it was, the quality of it was strong. I was disappointed as well, and probably most other people in terms of the turnout. So I would like us to look ahead to see what can we do to assure there are at least 50 folks at each of the next luncheons. You don't want to have another turnout that low on campus.
Right, that's for sure. So, suggestions. I mean, the pop print flash went out right before, went out that morning. We advertised in pop print with flyers up downtown. I understood everyone got one in their mailbox there.
Well, I think this one, there's more time to advertise it. I mean, this one was turned over very quickly because of the cancellation, talking to Pat about Geneva and stuff, and we wanted to have it there because of Andre's suggestion of people downtown feeling left out like this stepchild. So I think the one that's coming up, I think there's more time to get more posters out. I think more corporate flashes leading up to the event. And I think getting the email to Mary sooner and make sure that Marilyn keeps the RSVP on the end will help a lot.
Yeah.
And I think a lot more word of mouth will help a lot. You know, if you're going to attend, drag somebody with you, have them come along with you.
Yeah, Pat?
That was on a Monday, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
That one was on a Monday. Are the other ones on a different day of the week?
Tuesday. The next two were on Tuesday.
I know. I have a real hard time with
Mondays are kind of
tough.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you just kind of check out, and then by the time you check back in on Monday, you know, it's lost. It's a hard day, I think. So that may have
been. No, that's a good suggestion. Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear they're on Tuesday. That might help.
I think during breaks, people also try to arrange some personal time or vacation time as well.
Was there an email sent out?
Yeah.
There was?
The pop print.
Well, there's also something that went out to the HR community.
Yeah, ma'am. Oh. Something on Friday.
On Friday.
But that was for the HR.
That's incumbent upon the HR reps in each college to then pass that on. Mm-hmm. If they don't pass it on, then you don't get it. If you're not on pop print, then we'll actually put you on pop print.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
May I ask a question?
Most certainly.
Was there any recording? Do we have any knowledge of who the attendees were? Did there have a sign-in sheet?
We did have a sign-in sheet, Pat. Yep.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Sure. And that'll be protocol for the other events also. We'll have a sign-in sheet there.
And just one more thing. I would probably like to make a recommendation that we follow up with those individuals in some way, thanking them for attending.
Uh-huh.
And providing them some additional information or something.
That's a great idea. Yeah, Michael.
I just wanted to echo what was said about Mary and say that I think Donna did a superb job of distilling the chili chats and moving the discussion forward. Anyway, so I was very impressed because it was really off the cuff. And,
yeah, I made it all up.
I just thought it was very
impressed. Oh, thank you. Thanks. The other technical difficulty that we experienced was there was no PowerPoint presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So that caught me a little off guard as well. And Hazel was sick that day. I mean, going into that in the morning, all I thought I was going to have to do was introduce Mary. So anyway, but it turned out okay. I think. So
there will be a PowerPoint at the breakfast one, guaranteed.
Okay. All right. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. And like I said, it was all positive. So, anything more on leadership lunch? Okay. So election update. I'm excited about this. So we will not be having an election this year because the three seats that were vacant, we have three new members to fill those seats. And that way we are fully staffed and we are full EA. So the new members are all here today. Bill Liddick is here. Sebastian DiGiorgio, who's right behind Tori. And then we have Brian Cornell. So welcome. We had an orientation session yesterday. Hazel and I and Amy. Matt and Bill didn't make it, but that's okay. That's okay. We'll catch up with Bill. Just to give them so they all have a copy of the charter, and we'll go over things in a little bit of detail. But I've invited them to attend business meetings, you know, starting now, and hopefully they can make events too as we have them through the year, the rest of the year. So, new members, welcome aboard, and welcome back, old members.
Yay. Yay. Welcome from Geneva too. I can't wait to meet you three new members.
I feel like Starship Enterprise.
You know, I didn't realize.
Out of the table.
Alrighty. So to follow up from the election, Dennis had asked that we put this on the agenda to talk about the postmortem. And Dennis, I'm just going to turn this right over to you. Go right ahead.
All right, thanks. All that I wish the group to do is to have a discussion that this will not be the first of these discussions, I hope, but to have a quick discussion about why you think we didn't have an election. I mean, everything points to the fact that we would have sufficient candidates. I think Amy, you may have had as many as 20 requests for positions.
That included the incumbents here.
Okay, so there were at least, 14 or 15 petition requests that did not materialize into completed petitions, and that's something like a 25% return. So I'm wondering, what could the group do? One avenue would be, what can the group do in the future if there are petition requests? Are there ways that the group can encourage or have a resource person attached to certain petitions that you can help them move through so these individuals can actually then materialize as the candidates, or is that too much hand-holding? Is it a matter of these people are should be independent enough that if they request a petition and they want to follow through with it, they should be able to take that responsibility on by themselves? I just want you to have a discussion about that so that when we announce a potential election in the future, we can be fairly certain that we will have such an election. The other thing I'd like you to look at, and this is a longer term, is how does your IOC operate in terms of the election? And I think I brought this up at an earlier meeting. It's always been rather awkward from my point of view to have somebody who is a candidate or a potential candidate for the Employee Assembly to be the chair of the IOC, and to have members of the IOC who may be potential candidates themselves also having the expectation that they will drum up additional competition for themselves.
Yeah.
This is a much longer, larger question. But I think one that the group would be well served to have a discussion about.
Before we go into that discussion, Sebastian and Brian, could I just ask you to sit at the table? Because we did discuss... the big people's table. We did discuss this yesterday in our orientation session, so I think Brian and Sebastian will have some things to offer in this regard. So, and Hazel, you had your hand up, so you want to...
Yesterday when we started the discussion, Dennis, I had asked Sebastian and Brian if they found it too detailed, too cumbersome, you know, what did they think of the packet? And I'll let them comment about that. But the mentoring was something that I thought of. I thought when they dropped the package off, if they could give Amy or whomever they give the package to information of contact information, then maybe a person that is currently an Employee Assembly member but not running for a seat could contact them to see if we could help them design a poster, help them, you know, whatever we can help them, because Joe helped me a lot when I first became interested. Joe DeMarco, he walked me through the packet and stuff, and I don't know honestly if I would have monkeyed with it if it hadn't been for Joe.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So that's first-hand experience.
Right.
Yeah.
I think maybe also connecting with those people who didn't, who picked up, who have the application and didn't turn it in. I mean, is it a petition? Is it because they feel embarrassed about doing a statement? I mean, you could probably harvest some information from those who didn't pursue as well as those who did, and how they found out about it and what sparked their interest. I also think there are, and everyone here is on at least one committee that is staffed with non-EA people, and those are, that is a pool to sort of get people to go forward. The expanded staff group, was there an announcement made that there will be EA elections coming up? I don't think so. I mean, that's also like a potential pool of people that you could sort of get in here.
When I was bringing my petition around to get signatures, there was actually a high level of interest by the staff members that I asked to sign that petition. And I had explained it to every one of them, not everyone, but a lot of them. Oh, well, how do you run? And, at this point, the deadline was already there. And so I think it was just knowledge of knowing they can run, what it entails. I got one email before I came to the meeting. I went with Leon to my first meeting here.
Mm-hmm.
Just one email, and I didn't know about it any other way. I'm sure that there's methods of communicating this message out to the community, but I didn't see it. Whether I didn't read Paul Prince that week or didn't hear about it in a staff meeting or anything, if I didn't act on it with my own initiative and actually know, find the answers myself and know it was something I really wanted to do, I probably would have folded myself.
Mm-hmm.
So
Brian, which department are you? What department are you associated with?
College of AAP.
Okay.
IT department.
Yeah. I think what he said, I got the email 2 days or 3 days before the deadline as well.
Yes.
I'm at the hotel school, and my wife received it. She's in CIT. She received it, and she's got a very demanding schedule. But she will be considering it. And when I came home and said, I'm going to run for this, she was excited. I have a wife who's the Adobe instructor, so we have all the professional design things, so the poster wasn't like, I got confused and said, what am I doing wrong here? She said, get out of the way. So, you know, I mean, that's a luxury that not a lot of people have. I mean, professional designers say, kind of this look. Yeah. And the one thing that was weird is I was having trouble navigating through to find where to post my stuff. Mm-hmm. On the thing. Some of the path is not quite right in the instructions. I had a call to say, where am I going here?
Mm-hmm.
So that may be another thing. Signatures was not a problem. The hotel school, they were willing to run around and you know, strong arm signatures if needed. So that wasn't hard. But maybe if you could have a preliminary thing like a week ahead of time to say, all right, everybody's interested, sign up, get your packet, and then give them a little bit more lead time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if people are taking classes and things. They have to check with supervisors and things like that.
Right.
Luckily, mine were all for it. So.
And more. If for some reason I didn't see that email or I was out that day or it got filtered into my spam folder or for some reason I just didn't get it, didn't have time to read it, I wouldn't be here right now. Both Sebastian and myself were both new here, around a year. Of working here, so I've never seen an election before. I've never seen posters. I chose to not even make the poster. I was going on that I heard there's not much competition, not many people run, and I was going on, hey, maybe I'll get in, but it was also time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right. Bill, too.
I'm from Campus Life, and actually. Same routine as these guys. It was the last email that I saw, and I don't know if there were things previous to that. It was like 2 or 3 day notice to get together. And that was actually, I think, an extension email. So there had been stuff before that, but I don't remember seeing anything. And so it was kind of last minute. Oh, yeah, sounds interesting. I'd like to get into it. So I think for all three of us, it was the same case, which is kind of bad. As far as the process, I also did have some trouble when I went to the site to try and do the things I was supposed to do and the instructions and so forth. And it was also a little confusing after you did fill out the one page with your statement and everything, and you click OK, it disappears, and you're supposed to take that statement and attach it to the hard copy. And that was a little bit funny. But then the last thing that I saw, I doubt anybody got this point and just decided not to go, but even going down to the registrar's office to
take a picture.
And the program wasn't available, and they didn't know anything about it, and, you know. So it could be cleaned up some. But I don't know for those 17 that got packets if any of those things were something that stopped them or if they got it. Just to, you know, maybe an overall process looking at it and saying, is it too much or whatever. I think it's a very good point if we get a hold of 17 people and ask them what happened. You know, we might get some good feedback.
Yeah, luckily I have Leon to answer all my questions. And there were a lot of people in the college that. Very knowledgeable about EA and Donna Winner, who said she served before. She's up there. So my answers were luckily answered. And then it was my initiative. The prodding, I mentioned that yesterday. The emails, Brian, you have to get your picture taken, you know, on this day. The next email, Brian, you have to have this turned in. The prodding is partly what kept me going on. That was a very good tactic. That's a very good tactic, and I think that's why the mentoring idea would be very good. Because I used Leon as a mentor, and it worked out well for me. It kind of took the being scared feeling and the embarrassed feeling, like Michael was talking about, away, and I was able to move forward rather easily. So that's a good idea.
Dennis, sorry, he had
I actually think the mentor thing is a great idea. I remember a year ago when I ran, I too was here probably about a year, and it just felt very overwhelming looking at the process and knowing how big Cornell is. And there's elections, who am I going to run against? I don't know anybody here, and I only know who's in my little unit, and it just seemed really scary. So having somebody, and I didn't know anybody in the EA, so having somebody to talk to is a very big advantage that could help individuals through the process and make help them complete all the forms and all the paperwork and show them that it's not really that scary.
Dennis?
I'm just going to make a couple observations. One is, Brian, I think one of the reasons why so many people in architecture are planning
know about the EAs. The EAs have a much more presence there than some of the other colleges do. One is that Leon knows everybody in the world, so he knows everybody over there and constant interacting with them. But also, the EA went there maybe 2 years ago when Architecture, Art, and Plan was going through its identity crisis, and they weren't quite sure whether they remained together as one unit or several.
Yeah.
And the Employer Assembly actually sponsored a forum over there. So I think that sort of stuff, that outreach the Employer Assembly did, helped that group know about the Employer Assembly, which suggests the more of that you do, the more you get your name around campus if you're all in different units. The other observation I would make is that several people, especially people who are new, aren't necessarily on Cochrane Flash. Some election material came on Cochrane Flash previously to the email that went out to everybody. But Cochrane Flash is only 1,600 of our employees, although there are a lot of HR people who are on it who will usually send it on. As an Employee Assembly member, you'll automatically be added to Cochrane Flash, so you'll be flashed in the days ahead. And the other thing it suggests to me is that electioneering shouldn't be just probably a season of electioneering. We shouldn't be just thinking of it in January, February, and March. It really should be something we should be mindful of the year round. We always should be looking for talented people out there who we could bring in some way or invite to meetings. I know that Andre has done that, and I think that's a good mechanism for all to try to bring an extra person each time you come, invite somebody else, because we should be mindful of that. And I would like the group to think, too, about, do you need a semi-autonomous or independent group that monitors or hosts your elections? I know that for some years ago, I was on something called the Trustee Nominating Committee, and the Trustee Nominating Committee is, obviously, it's not a body that's controlled by the trustees, although there's trustee representation on it, but they actually independently set up the election and I believe they receive or at least they encourage nominations. Maybe you could.
Yeah. Well, it's technically not a committee of the Board of Trustees, but the trustees who are on the committee are asked to serve by the chairman of the board.
Mm-hmm.
And then he will ask one of those three to chair it. So there is a connection to the trustees. They are charged with kind of supervising and recruiting, providing information sessions, and generating interest. It's the role of the Assembly's office to facilitate the election. So we work closely with them. So, there's a role there for the members to provide an educational aspect of what this is. I think it's, I mean, you mentioned it before, you know, just as part of this, it's maybe even establishing an election committee or something, because it was very difficult with Hazel's on IOC as well, and both Hazel and Andre were candidates. And so
I would take that one step further and say the entire executive committee were candidates.
Right.
Except
so,
for me.
You know, by because of that, when we started to have questions, we were, you know, Donna was acting in that role because we felt as chair and as a non-interested party, that was the appropriate thing to do. So that's what we did. And that worked out fine. But I think, we might want to be more proactive about that in the future and have an election chair that can deal with that. But I think Dennis's point about, you know, the ongoing nature of recruiting. I think, you know, as you become more visible, and I think, you know, with President Scorton, this group has become more visible, that can help you. And, you know, as you think about, you know, the topics and how you are out there, going to AAP seems to have an effect, and I think I've heard mentioned before that it might be an interesting dynamic to meet in other areas, other colleges, and try to generate some interest. That might be helpful, because then that's an easy way. If you're up in ag, for Tori to say, oh, everybody should go to the meeting and get people there. And the other thought I had was, you know, there's an EA column every month that I know you all trade off writing for, and I skim them, and I can't really remember
exactly what you say, but including something about if you're interested in becoming involved and blah, 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 that might be an opportunity on a regular basis to get that message in front of people as they read that column,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to kind of have a closing paragraph that talks about become involved in the EA or something. Might be an opportunity.
So I feel like I'm hearing from the new guys the lack of information and knowing about the EA. I'm kind of hearing about it at the last minute somewhat. So I think here the new employees packet would be a good
mm-hmm.
time to take advantage of this and getting our name out there, letting individuals know about elections and that type of thing, and trying to, if we're going to send it out maybe every 6 months or something like that,
mm-hmm.
Maybe sending it out during not so busy times, so over the summer when some individuals don't have much going on, and oh, look at this, there's something in the mail, and they have time to breathe and read something, or during kind of midwinter or sometime around there. So I know we were talking about that a little bit, kind of like it's time to kind of pick up on it to get the information out there.
I think in addition to the trustees and their election, Dennis and Peggy were talking about, committee, maybe we could also look at the GPSA and the graduate professional student assembly and the student assembly to see if there's any things that they do
mm-hmm.
that yeah. we could use. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, perhaps. Maybe there's something here, maybe not. In addition, maybe, and I know Dennis has done this in the past, I believe, with the paw print to have like maybe a special insert on the elections, but
mm-hmm.
more in advance, you know, than close to the election. Maybe that might be helpful as well.
Yeah.
Just gonna make one more question, and that is, I think you have a resource that has been largely untapped here, and that is there are a number of people who still work at the university who have been members of the Employee Assembly. And Donna, you attended, I believe, a luncheon we hosted, Poppin hosted maybe a year ago, year and a half
mm-hmm.
ago. We invited all the past chairs of the Employee Assembly to come, and we had, what, 8, 9, 10?
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
So many of them who are still active in the university, they may be the kind of people that you would want to pull together for some sort of independent election committee or a group who you would ask convene once in a while as either an advisory group or as a group who might help. You could offload some of the mechanisms of your internal operation to a group that is already familiar with the Employee Assembly and has the Employee Assembly's
mm-hmm.
interests at heart. I think they're a good
source
of resource people.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion on that? All righty. Let's move on. Climate neutrality. This is something that came up in our last meeting. We were talking about President Horton signing the climate neutrality statement. And at one of the handouts you'll see is an email to me from Ethan Rainwater, who is the sustainability coordinator. He's actually an intern. Dean Koyanagi is the director of that, but Ethan is working on it. But he, if you look at the email, you'll see that. Oh, sure. The the student assembly has passed a resolution that, with including a referendum on the spring ballot for a $5. Per semester student activity fee, and that has to go, it's dedicated toward renewable energy for the campus. So the GPSA is looking at that, and so Ethan wrote me this note asking if I thought the employee assembly would be interested in showing their support in this way. So I wanted to bring it forward. Because we did talk about it a little bit. I think it's something that, you know, how sustainability got to be a buzzword on campus the last couple of years. I think that now that President Skorton has signed the carbon neutrality is what it was, that statement, I think we're going to be hearing more and more about it. And the idea is to reduce the energy. Reduce the energy that the university uses by 30% was the yeah. So it's pretty big. Pretty big. And we have folks in utilities that are doing great things, you know, with like lake source cooling and all of those sort of things. But there are also in planning, design, and construction, they just implemented the green building guidelines so that when we build new buildings, they're energy efficient. And so those kind of things are already starting to happen. But so I just wanted to run this past you. Do you think it would be worthwhile to have Ethan come and talk with us, or Ethan and Dean Koyanagi, or do we have an interest in pursuing this and being a part of it?
I think both should be invited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So we can become more knowledgeable about exactly what it all means and how we can contribute.
Yeah.
Did anybody see on the news Ithaca was there, and it was voted one of the top greenest cities in the country?
Really?
Yeah, and they said because a lot of employees walk to work. A lot of employees have already, or members of Ithaca have already taken the steps to be energy efficient in their
mm-hmm.
homes.
Yeah.
And we were, I think, maybe fourth or seventh in the entire country.
Wow.
And that was, I think, on CNN. The city is already moving that way.
I mean, when you think about Cornell, and there are 8,000 employees here, so if we do things at work and we do things at home, you know, it's all part of what the university generates. So, all right, so I'll get in touch with Ethan and Dean and see when they might be able to meet with us. Okay, great. All right. EMS. Another presentation that Amy brought to my attention. It's the Cornell University Emergency Medical Service. And this, it's a C. Danielle is her name. Put this report together. And maybe, Amy, you can tell us a little bit more about this. I just got this and haven't had a chance to really review it.
Well, because I'm interface with all three assemblies, other than the student assembly, I get to see presentations that are interesting a lot of times at the GPSA meetings. And Danielle and some of her colleagues from EMS came into GPSA meeting a couple weeks ago, and she did a really good job, and the information she shared was important to them because a portion of their student activity fees goes to towards EMS directly. Now, the same thing doesn't apply to employees, but it's interesting information to get in. So.
Okay. So how does this service benefit employees?
Well, they're on campus as opposed to bangs or any other ambulance service being called.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these folks are often the first responders
right,
if there's an
exactly.
accident.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not just for.
So
students,
I'm trying to put this into
staff.
Context. I'm a little foggy today.
And what are they looking for us?
Nothing.
Oh, just awareness?
Just awareness. That's
okay.
all they want. Just
all right.
To tell you all what
it's
they
a volunteer
do.
Program.
Exactly. And they're always looking to recruit more volunteers, and they have expanded their services as time has gone by and money has allowed. And they just want to share that with
uh-huh.
all of you.
Okay, great.
And Amy, did you say they're funded through the student activity fees?
A portion of the student assembly activity fee and the grad student activity fee goes toward supporting EMS's budget.
Okay. And how else are they funded? Is the university funded in any fashion?
I think that their role became increasingly important when Gannett made the decision a number of years ago not to be a 24/7 service.
Uh-huh.
And so Gannett closes down at 5. Now they have 24/7 response, but they do not have on-site care. And so the role of EMS, the student organization, became increasingly important when that happened, because it provides the immediate service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are on call, and they live together during their on-call period. I remember years back in campus life, at one point, well, some of you may not even remember, we used to have a graduate area called Pleasant Grove, mm-hmm. which is graduate housing. It's where the new North Campus residence halls are, or actually the fields up there.
Yeah.
And they actually had an apartment within that complex as their base of operations. And when they were on call overnight, that's where they were living out of. And I think they have something over on Palm Road.
Yeah.
I think it's something for the entire community. Amy said it was quite an interesting, and it's, you know, good to know
mm-hmm.
what's going on with that.
Are they students?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, graduate students? Are they graduate students?
Yeah.
But they're all students? They're all... There are
mostly undergraduate. It's all volunteer.
It's all volunteer.
And there's at least one staff member.
And there's at least one faculty member. Graham Bailey is a member, or was a member.
Well, they say here they have two faculty members.
Two?
They don't say any staff. That's more of a wonder.
Well, maybe not.
So is there a staff person? If so, that would be a good profile.
Yeah, right.
I don't know.
We'll find out. Yeah.
I think so.
All right. On that note, so shall we invite Danielle to come and make a presentation?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Learn more about that. Okay. So moving into old business, code of conduct update. Leon, I think you have some handouts and things that
yeah,
you wanted to share.
I do.
Great.
These are two different handouts that are going around. Do we have this for one turn? Thank you. Thanks. So there are two different sets going. There's a lot of information about the Hanson Code of Conduct, as some of you may already know. It does affect faculty, staff, and students. The Code of Conduct is for everybody, and there's a lot of controversy about the Krauss report. And so what I'm handing you is what I consider like some of the highlights of the campus code of conduct and what I call the general information packet. And it starts with the president's letter to Barbara Krauss, who you'll see was the senior advisor to the president, who he asked to conduct this report. The reason that there's two handouts is because the second handout actually is the Cornell Law Students Association. I thought that their response was outstanding,
uh-huh.
but when I put the first part together, I forgot to include them. And the other thing I wanted to mention is on the back of the law students report is the faculty and staff on page 15 of the Krauss report.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with faculty and staff. And then in the handout that has the cover on it, the general information packet, instead of copying the entire Krauss report, I just copied for you the executive summary.
Uh-huh.
And that executive summary, I just wanted to mention on pages of the, 2, 3, and 4 are the major issues and the current and proposed campus code of conduct. So if you look on pages 2, 3, and 4, you'll see what the current conduct is,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll see what's proposed, the proposed changes, and some of these changes have caused a lot of controversy.
Yeah.
I'll let you read through this, and if you have any questions during our next meeting, I can, address them at that time. The only other thing I wanted to say is that in this packet also is a resolution, a draft resolution. And the reason it's a draft, it actually was approved, but the final version, I don't have the final version, but anyway, on March 14th, it's the resolution concerning the campus code review. This was actually approved by the University Assembly.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, that's sort of like where we are. I know it's a lot of information, but if you take your time and read through all of this,
information when we meet again in a couple of weeks. You know, if there's more questions or whatever, I can address them at that time.
All right. So, Leon, just to give people a little bit of background, it's the University Assembly is going to make a recommendation to the CJC about, and is this resolution a part of it?
The resolution, the CJC made the resolution to the University Assembly.
Oh, the other way around.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the University Assembly has to make a recommendation to the President,
mm-hmm.
who will make a recommendation to the Board.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. And when is all of that supposed to happen?
The March trustee meeting?
Yeah,
or
I
the
wanted
chamber?
To make a note of that, because the President's initial request was to have a recommendation to him by April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if you guys are meeting, which I don't think you are. This is your second meeting this month. The goal for the CJC has been doing all of the legwork
right.
on discussion on this.
Right.
They have made a recommendation to the UA, and that recommendation was accepted. And that basically outlined 4 points of, and there were probably close to 12 altogether, but those are the 4 that they chose to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it is in the hands of the UA, and it will be the UA, where they are right now, and they are drafting a letter to the President that will, and so the next meeting, which is the 28th, the next UA meeting, they will be discussing and finalizing that letter that will be going to the President that basically moves forward the President's the recommendations of the CJC.
Okay. So the 4 points that Peggy refers to, are they in these materials?
Yes, they
Can
are.
Can you point them out for me
yes.
again so I know?
Sure. They are...
The first one is scope. And so who does it cover? I can start with that one while you guys are looking. Here, responsibility for the code. Who has the responsibility? Well,
embedded in this is the report that is going to be sent to the President. It's a memo from the Codes and Judicial Committee to the University Assembly, and I believe that the memo itself was approved more or less to be forwarded on to the President as is. And in the introduction on that, I'm sorry, it's right after the executive summary of the press report. The 4 points are at the bottom of the first page of that
uh-huh.
memo.
Okay. All right, got it. Okay. So, homework, everyone. Please review. In particular.
Madam Chairman?
Yes, representative from Geneva.
May I request that I be forwarded by Leon a copy that he is handing out since I'm not there?
Sure.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So what I'd like you all to do is look over the report, but in particular, pay attention to those 4 points and the letter that will be going, or the draft or whatever form is in here, the letter that from the University Assembly, to the University Assembly from the Codes and Judicial Committee, so that you're familiar with what they're going to be sending forward. Okay? And any questions, contact Leon in the meantime. And what I'd like to do at our next meeting then is if anybody has any edits or feels strongly about anything that's stated here, we need to get that to Leon quickly.
Except the resolution that has,
mm-hmm.
I mean.
Right, it's already been approved.
Yeah,
yes.
or her report. And like I said, I've just submitted the
but
executive summary. It's about 29 or 30 pages
right.
in total.
Right. Yes. But
and everything is online. All of this information is online.
But what
and
I'm saying is that you're our voice
right,
in the University
exactly.
Assembly. So
right.
if we need Leon to say something on
yeah,
our behalf,
let me know.
We need
yeah.
to let him know. All right. Okay. Ms. Mahoney?
Yes, Madam Chairman.
We're up to the inclement weather committee, and you're a part of that, and I was hoping you could give us an update.
I would be happy to do that.
Wonderful.
I received an email from Lisa Yeager, who I understand is an administrative assistant in the executive vice president's office, and several dates were proposed to several folks who are on the committee or to be members of the committee, and apparently none of those dates were So I received a new message from Lisa stating that she's going to get back in touch with us with some additional options, just an additional date.
Okay.
So the sad news is we have not yet met, and the sadder news is I'm not sure when we're going to meet.
All right. Okay. And you're on that, and Michael is another representative.
Michael and I, yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you would like me to share with you all the members of that committee, or if that doesn't matter.
No, actually, I've seen a listing. I think we all have seen it somewhere. It was in the paw print. There was an article on the front page, top right corner. See? I read it. And it listed all the members of the committee, So we'll wait until you have hopefully you're going to meet pretty soon, though, because then when the weather gets nice, people don't think about inclement weather.
I agree.
Pat, is the other Michael, or the other Thomas Bruce, is he also a member of that committee, I understand?
Yeah.
He is.
Okay. So there are three staff members.
Okay, great. All right, budget update. We all have the handout, Pat, of the budget in the final draft form.
Okay.
So if you'd like to point us in the right direction, we can flip to it.
Basically, this is the final information after our last meeting. All of the modifications have been made, and we have ended up with a final 0708 amount requested of $12,050. And if everyone agrees, after one final run-through of the budget, you know, with each of the subcommittee listed, then I would like to work with Ari and come up with a resolution to propose that this will be our 0708 budget.
Okay. There were, the last time that we discussed this, there were a few items that we were reconsidering. I just want to bring our new folks into the loop too, Pat. So
do you want me to talk about those?
Yeah, could you? And we could just flip through. Yeah, that'd be great.
Sure. If you go to the Communications Committee page, which I believe is
directly
the summary.
So, third page.
The item number three, new employee packet, that was one of the items that we had actually added to this budget this year that was not previously noted. And I think after a great deal of discussion, we all concurred that it would be very important. And listening to the earlier statements about how we can get the EA name out there to encourage people to belong, this just convinces me that we made the right decision to keep that in.
Okay.
Then on the, I'm sorry, any questions on that one?
No, I don't see any.
Okay. And then on the next page under the Employee Education Committee, we had made a commitment to continue to support, and we're not even going to go there about the team event.
Yeah.
We're going to be putting $500 toward that effort, and the staff graduate reception, although we did not provide any dollars last year, we will be committing $750. And that was something we all agreed on at the last meeting.
Okay.
Just because of the acronym, especially for new members, somebody tell us what TEAD means.
Sure. Donnie, you want to throw that one out there?
Staff? No.
Education
Exploration Day. Yes. Thank you, Dennis.
Are we good with that?
We are. We like it.
Yeah.
That's what it is now. It wasn't before.
Maybe next time I can just spell it out. And then on the next page under the Executive Committee, the one item that we have modified,
I actually believe there's an incorrect amount listed there for 0607. No, I apologize. It was correct. $800 was last year, and we originally had proposed an amount of $1,500. And after a great deal of discussion, we brought that back to $800.
Great deal.
And we all agreed that we were going to figure out how that $800 was going to be spent at a later date, but that was the dollar amount that we agreed on.
Yes, we did.
And those were the four topics
that okay.
we discussed last meeting, and after agreeing on all of those, I implemented those dollars, and we are now at our final proposed budget.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, Leon.
On the second page, under Employee Assembly Special Appreciation Award.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to be giving that award anymore. Is that correct?
That was
I think we agreed to remove that.
Yep, we did, and it I think that we decided we could find room for it within another place if we wanted to do that, right?
I believe that was correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think we were talking about moving money from the peer appreciation luncheon to the
okay.
special award if we should decide to grant one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
You know, my answer, what is that award for?
Yeah. Well, Dennis. Why don't you tell us what the award is for?
Tirelessly and cheerfully attending every employee assembly meeting and butting in at every opportunity.
we awarded two last year. Those are both in our last academic year, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One to Dennis Stein and one to Mary Opperman. So those are the two plaques. 75 each. All right, so.
Question.
Yeah, Ari.
I noticed that elections aren't in the budget at all, and I was wondering what the thinking was there. With the other assemblies in the budget?
No thinking. I think Ari, since we didn't have anything in last year's budget for elections, I didn't put any in this year's budget, but I do agree that that is probably something we may need to add. If in fact everything goes as we plan, and we will really have an election next year.
Well, the good news is we now know exactly how much they will cost.
Yes, that would be a good thing, so we can maybe just plug that number in, and I'm fine with that.
The bad news is that is $3,000, so that significantly increases the size of it.
$3,000?
Well, yeah. For imagine printing and mailing of ballots to 10,000 employees.
Oh, Moses. Okay, then I think we need to talk about that, Madam Chairman.
I think we do.
This may not be time, but when
you no, I think maybe we may want to delay submitting this until we have an opportunity to discuss what is included in that $3,000 and
how
we can implement that.
Yeah, Bill, I'm sorry,
I was just. Try this sound like the discussion is going to come from just the mailing, the mass mailing, not doing electronic mailing.
Yeah,
I think that's the next discussion.
Right, and we have talked about doing electronic elections in the past. So, yeah, I think that's something that we're going to have a discussion about. Okay, so we can't approve the budget today.
Correct.
Sorry.
That's okay. Ari, I will be in touch with you, and we can maybe work this out.
Okay.
Okay.
And Pat, if you want to have a meeting of the finance committee to do that, I'm happy to attend.
I think we will have to do that, Donna.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can get something scheduled this week.
Okay, that'd be great.
Do you want it on the agenda next business meeting?
Yeah, we really need to finalize this budget.
Okay.
Yes, please.
The longer we go, the less chance we have of getting more money.
Yes.
People spend it. All right, so we've only got 5 minutes left, and I want to jump into committee report, so we're going to go around this pretty quickly. Joe's not here. Oh, well, Hazel's here. SRAC?
I wasn't at the last meeting. Leanne was. Leanne?
Yeah. We are, it's in process for looking at some, another recipient of the award.
Oh, terrific. Okay.
Oh, would you, no, you can. Would you mind?
Well, you can explain about that.
Okay. What Amy is passing around, and I'll mail a copy to you, Pat. It's the new application form for the George Peter Award for Dedicated Service, and it's a new format where we're looking to ask three questions. How does the nominee demonstrate a superior ability to work effectively in collaboration with peers, subordinates, supervisors, and others? Question two, how does the nominee demonstrate a superior ability to be an excellent team player? And three, how does the nominee demonstrate a superior ability to have a positive influence on colleagues in the professional field, the program, or the university? So this is a new form. Hopefully it's more user-friendly, and it'll garner more nominees. More nominations.
Great.
Did you want to add anything, Amy or Dennis? Did you want to add anything?
Thank you, Sonia.
Okay.
Nothing.
Terrific. Okay. And then this form will be posted on the website?
We're working on that.
Okay.
The problem is, the letters that need to be submitted supporting the nomination would be in hard copy.
Uh-huh.
So we're trying to figure out what would be the best way you can submit hard. You know what I mean?
I
don't want to become too electronic, because then you sort of omit people that aren't familiar and friendly and able to access email.
But at least if people can download the form.
Absolutely.
You know,
yes.
And then
working on it.
Yeah.
This is the first this form has been revealed.
Right.
So.
Okay. Good.
Could I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Is there a complete summary or a list of instructions specifically stating what is required to submit this package on the website or in other forms?
Well, this is a one-page form that Leon has handed out. It's got three parts to it. And it does clearly tell you in part two that you need to write a letter.
Okay.
In part three, it does ask for your contact information.
Excellent.
So it's a pretty concise one-page form rather than a packet.
Okay. That's exactly what I needed.
Yeah. I thought that's what you were going for there. okay, Communication Committee.
There's a meeting coming up soon, and we'll tie up the loose ends for the next leadership luncheon, and I'd really like to start talking about the package.
Okay.
For detail.
All right. So we'll hear more about the new employee packet soon. Finance Committee, Pat, anything to add?
One thing I would like to say is we need more members.
Okay.
And I would encourage these new three members, if they are at all interested in becoming a part of that committee, I would love to chat with them about it.
Wonderful. They all have your contact information.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Emergency Grant Fund. The Emergency Grant Fund had unanimously voted an award to a member of the Cornell community who happens to be a faculty member. That is a little bit unusual outside of the focus of the Emergency Grant Fund. And there was a lot of discussion about it. It was just kind of interesting discussion. But in the spirit of the Emergency Grant Fund, they granted that award. It was a faculty member who lost his house caught on fire. So that was, I think it's been awarded, was last week?
The check was cut, the check was picked up yesterday, and the check was delivered either today or tomorrow.
Ah, all right. So, and that's the only award we've given out this year.
How much was the check?
It was $1,000, I believe. And that's a standard award that we get. Education. Oh, I'm sorry, Leon.
Just for clarification for the new members.
Yeah.
Is this a loan or is it actually a gift?
No, it's a gift. Okay. Yeah. Yep. The person is not required to pay it back.
And why is there discretion about it?
Because it was a faculty member.
Oh.
Emergency grant fund is always been given to a staff member and never, apparently, been given to a faculty member. Mm-hmm. So that was something a little bit different. Yeah, Dennis.
The details about the emergency grant fund and its application procedures and the language that set up the emergency grant fund has inconsistent language as to whether or not the emergency grant fund could be given to an employee or to a staff person. At one place it says for staff, another place it says employee, which includes faculty. So although the grant was perceived as a grant just for staff, it is not illegal or it's not outside of the jurisdiction of the grant to give it to faculty. That's allowed within, although its purpose, its original purpose is not a vision of the grant to faculty.
Right. So a little technicality there that was caused interesting discussion. Education committee doesn't really have anything to report. I see Andre isn't here, and of course we had the elections with the last big event. Executive committee, nothing really hot happening there. I've had a couple of conversations with Dennis and Michael about some ideas I've had and actually mentioned them to our newest members so you guys have an inside track on this. So a couple of ideas that I'm working on, see if I can get some legs. One of the topics, Mary had asked Michael to come up with a topic for the expanded group meeting, and one thing that has been talked about in the past is the idea of establishing a mortgage fund for employees so that they could get a discounted mortgage rate being members of the Cornell community. So I did a little digging around, and Princeton has a program that sounds like it might work here. I've talked to Steve Golding about it. You'll remember about he came and presented his economic impact statement. So it ties into that, and also real estate and finance all fall under Steve Golding. So having him be supportive of it is a really good thing. Mary, in her 2003 annual report, had mentioned the idea of a mortgage fund, and for whatever reason it got shot down. I'm not sure, but probably different leadership at that time. And so it's worth revisiting. So I'm going to talk to Michael about it tomorrow. I gave him the materials today to see if that's a topic we want to discuss in the expanded group. See what sort of feedback we get.
I believe Stanford has.
Stanford does.
I believe.
There are several. Mm-hmm. There are several. I mean, I started printing things out, and there a lot of our peers mm-hmm. have it. Like I said, if you go to Princeton's website and start to look around, just type in mortgage, and you'll get to that page. But that's the closest thing, just sort of how we operate, that I think might work here. So that's something that we're going to talk about. We've gone over our time limit, so if I could have a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion.
All right. All set? Okay. Adjourned. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye,
Pat. Thanks for coming. Watch your mail, Pat.
I will, man. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, one can do that. Thank you. Okay.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.